Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil Vitale, restaurant critic and expert on all topics here.
General Blowhard, yes.
I'm going to use that.
Sure.
Restaurant
it's on my
critic
business card.
General Blowhard is here. But I mean, it must be that you get almost addicted to that thing. Why do quarterbacks not retire? Why do baseball and basketball players stay beyond their prime? Because they just miss the energy, the adulation, that sort of thing.
And they don't have an idea what they want to do next, maybe. It's just, this is what I am, this is who I am, this is it.
Well, I got a brother that retired this year, and he's 4 years younger than me, and he doesn't seem to be complaining about what am I going to do next. You know what he's going to do next? He's going to fix the washing machine, take a nap, and then he's going to have a beer and golf. And that seems to fill his day.
Well, if it does, then salute. He's winning.
Tom, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Just the rest of the story, and it's Trump's Super Bowl watch party.
Yeah.
Just want you to know that that was a $3.5 million tax-funded Super Bowl party. So as a taxpayer, that was part of my party, and I'm really offended at the way he acted at that. $3.5 million.
That's a lot of wings.
What bothers you more? Thank you, Tom. I'm going to finish this conversation. Would you stop it?
I'm sorry.
I'll do the jokes here. Actually, if I do the jokes here, we're screwed, so you do the jokes.
All right.
You're a restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune. What's the best way to get a reservation, especially if I'm trying to do it for Valentine's Day? Is there an end around? Is there a way? Is there a magic thing I can say? And what do you think about handing somebody a 20 and saying, can you get me a table?
I'm thinking that at most places, that won't... I mean, the only place you can do the old hand the guy a 20 would be when you're already there. You can't say, hey, there's a $20 bill in it for you if you do that. In most cases, right. In most cases, in most restaurants, it is not worth that person's job to accept a $20 bribe. Because
is that a bribe? Are they not supposed to do that?
No, they're not supposed to do that.
I don't know.
It depends on the restaurant. I suppose there are some places that go, hey, whatever. But I think a lot of places, if they, because it's really hard to do that and seat someone ahead of other people without those other people noticing. And now you've angered four tables just to make one table happy for your $20. If I'm the manager, you're fired.
But if I own the place, I can do whatever I want. My number is 312-981-7200. If you've ever done something like that, please call and tell us. Have you ever slipped somebody a little cash up front, and then they get you a table or a better table? Or, I mean, and what's the number, too? Because maybe you give them $5 and they give you a worse table. You know? Or they say, actually, we've just canceled your reservation. We can't be had for $5.
Remember the old Vegas days when you'd go to a Vegas show? I'm going back 25 more years. Go to a Las Vegas show and you get in, it's your front, and somebody's leading you to a table, and they usually lead you to something Siberia-ish. And then it's time to crumple up a couple of fives and say, can we do a little better here? And then they're not sure. The guy used to just open the thing and make sure you didn't palm a single. And then you'd move up a little bit, or maybe a lot, depending on what you put in his hand. And that's how it would go. I don't think it works in restaurants anymore. Probably doesn't work on Vegas floor shows anymore.
I just hate the fact that that's me first suggesting to you that you're corruptible. Mm-hmm. And what if you're not? Now I really look like a fool. And what if you are, but I'm not corrupt enough to actually get it? I mean, there's just so many little variables there. I know I would screw it up.
Exactly.
I'd end up getting a worse seat or kicked out.
Because there's the I'm for sale, but I ain't cheap thing.
Right.
And if you try to bribe me with a $5, now I'm offended.
That's it. The first thing is you're for sale, right? I've judged you to be that kind of person. And then secondly, I've judged you to be that kind of person and you're cheap. And yet you don't value yourself that much. I can get a better seat for $5. If a tip up front helps you, I'm just kind of curious how that goes. Or maybe there's a trick over the phone. A friend of mine and his wife would get reservations at tables, and they used to say something, and I forget what it was. Like, I don't remember if they were taking somebody else's reservation or if they were... I don't know what the game was, the words were, but it seemed to work. What do you think of this? making reservations at multiple restaurants and then taking the best one you can get.
People do that, and as long as you're alerting the other restaurants, call them back and say, "I can't make it. Thank you. I can't." That's all right. But, you know, on Valentine's Day, especially, that's a common ploy. Drives restaurants nuts because what happens is they spend the last 2 days before Valentine's Day telling people, "No, we're booked. No, we're booked. No, we're booked." And then around 4 o'clock on the actual day, they get 7 cancellations or worse.
Well, a friend of mine used to, this was in Minneapolis, but he would go to the restaurants you can't get into frequently. It might have been a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. But just for that reason, either they had people that didn't show up or they held tables for walk-ups. But he said, you would be surprised how easy it is to get into the you can't get into restaurants. I don't know if that's true here in Chicago or not.
I think that being there helps a lot.
But that's a gamble.
It's a gamble. If you're willing to roll those particular dice, I think that does work. I'll have a drink at the bar. You're nice about it. You're not being, do you know who I am, thumping your chest or whatever. That stuff never works. And, at some point, someone will probably take pity on you if they're able to. I've walked into a restaurant just this summer, and the hostess did not recognize me, and she said, I'll put your name down, but I'd be honest with you. There's almost no chance you're going to get in before 10:45 tonight. And I appreciated that. I mean, I'm glad they were that busy, but at least...
What did you do?
I said I'd hang around. I'd take my chances. And what I wound up doing is kind of made a little space somehow for myself at the bar and ate standing up.
I'm amazed how often we'll go to a place. And I'm not talking big restaurants. Sometimes big restaurants. Sometimes just very smaller places. But you'll come up and they'll say, it's 90 minutes. And I'm thinking, it's not 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's not 90 minutes. It's you would think they would err on the shorter side rather than the longer side. Because mm-hmm. I'm not going to wait 90 minutes. But usually it's 35 minutes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At least when that's my experience there. And sometimes you look out there and I go, there are some empty tables. It sure can't be 90 minutes. Why are you telling me 90 minutes? I think it's because you're busy and you just don't want me here tonight, but I think you could seat me in 30.
I think there are two schools of thought there. You want to give a number that is fair. You don't want to say, I mean, if it's 90 and you get in 30, you're thinking, sweet, I got in sooner. But if they say 30 and it's 90, now you got steam coming out of your ears.
Yeah.
So they don't want to over guarantee. So they'd rather err that way.
I get it.
And second, they've got these numbers in their mind. They look at a table and they assign a time vaguely for each table. They just got here. They're going to be here an hour and 45 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes. And so in my mind, that'll turn over then. But then turns out that table, all they wanted was appetizers and a couple of drinks. Then they're up and out. Or they, and another table has a round of desserts, two rounds of coffee, and a fascinating story about their lives that they want to share. And they hang onto those tables like outmanned platoons.
Yeah, yeah. John, the $20 tip works every time with hotel desk clerks at 4- and 5-star hotels. Okay, I'm not sure what you're getting for your $20 tip at the hotel. Maybe a seat in the restaurant or...
A room with a view.
A better room?
Yeah.
Wow, how about that?
$20 is not going to get you a
really
booked-up
so
hotel.
It's a $300 a night hotel, and then I slide you a $20? Somebody needs to tell me how to do this.
Exactly. You have to be cool about it.
Hello, for $20.
Yeah. I suggest holding the bill aloft above your head, snapping it with your hand so you can see how
it's
wide the bill is. Snap.
WGN. That's Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Tribune. Okay, so some Valentine's ideas and also another restaurant to review. That's all coming up. Restaurant critic for the Chicago Tribune, Phil Vitale, is in our studio. He's giving us tips on how to get into hard to get into restaurants. And he suggested that you take your dollar bill and how does that go? What's the language on that?
You take the dollar bill and hold it aloft and snap it with your fingers so they can see that crisp thing and say something like, did I mention my friend Mr. Washington will be joining us as you slide that dollar bill oh so subtly over toward the host?
And oh, look, here's his friend Abraham Lincoln wants to join us.
There might be a party now. What do you say about that corner table?
John, we were bumped back by a familiar person to Wildfire and Oak Brook. Boy, did that stink. We had a reservation, and they did not. I'm not sure what bumped back means, but I guess somebody arrived and got a table in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
I was a host at a small Italian restaurant, and a gentleman handed me $20 on New Year's Eve. I already had a two-top available.
Sweet.
So there's that. My date's dad, back in the 90s, gave him a $20 bill to get us seated at Rosebud's in Chicago. My date, by accident, gave him the $50 bill he had in the same pocket that was going to pay for our meal. So now we've got a seat, but we don't have the cash to pay for it. At Hibachi Grills, I always slip the table cook a 20. Oh, so at like the Asian restaurants, mm-hmm. where you're all sitting around there?
Right.
Every time he goes back to the kitchen to get some extra steak without asking. Oh, that's good, because, you know, they dice it all up fairly, right. But if you want mm-hmm. a little more something, show them a who's on a 20? Has that been published? Do we know?
That would be Mr. Franklin.
Show him a Franklin's on the 20. Mm-hmm. Show him one of those and see if you don't get a little extra. If it's worth it to you, I mean, or just, you know, go somewhere else if you want more food. Fold it up in hand, hand down on the counter, and slide it to the clerk. It works every time. Are you double checking the 20?
Yeah, it's Andrew Jackson. Franklin's on the 100. It's supposed to be Harriet Tubman. Oh, that was fun. Harriet Tubman's supposed to be on the 20, except she's not for, I'm trying to remember why, somebody blocked it. Anyway,
I digress. Lin-Manuel Miranda helped block it because Hamilton became popular again.
Right.
Are you serious, Steve?
Well, there were other arguments, but that was part of it too.
Are you kidding me? Lin jumped into that argument?
No, he didn't. But the popular. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, Hamilton's on the 10, and the idea was they were going to switch him out for Harriet Tubman, and then there was a bit of a thing, and Lin-Manuel Miranda did weigh in, and so they decided, okay, we'll swap for the 20 instead because Andrew Jackson nobody wrote a play about him, so we'll get rid of Andy, and then that's been held up.
Whenever I make a reservation at an Italian restaurant, I use an Italian name, even though my last name is Johnson. I always get a table with a great view.
Oh.
LOL.
And speak in a comical Italian accent while twirling your mustache. That helps.
What's this new brewery you like called Moody Tongue?
Moody Tongue. It's a brewery that's located in the South Loop. And what they did is they got their hands on a chef named Jared Wentworth, who was the original chef at Longman and Eagle, and then also at Dusek's Board and Beer. Both restaurants earned Michelin stars, so he has quite a bit of cred attached to his name.
Breweries have good food. A lot of them do.
Yeah, none of them have food this good. What Wentworth is doing at Moody Tongue is just absolutely sensational.
Really?
Yeah, he's doing... terrific.
Is it just beer, though? Because some of these brew pubs and breweries don't serve wine or hard spirits.
He actually does have a very respectable wine list there. It's not huge, and obviously beer is what they care about and where their passion is. But he does have a good amount of wine available.
Moody Tongue is a good name for a place to get food, Phil?
It might not be, but the beer already had a reputation, and so this is more like Moody Tongue adds a restaurant and don't want to mess with that, with what is considered
one of
them.
What should I order? What did you like on their menu?
Well, they have two ways to go. There, you can go with the there's a full multi-course dinner you can do, and that's usually extraordinary. Or you can just go a la carte. They do a very nice pan-seared fried chicken. That is one of their biggest. They do an aged pork chop that they serve all sliced up for you. I like that one very well. There's a beet tartare, not beef tartare, but beet tartare.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah,
I like beets,
and it's beautiful. I mean, the amount of effort he puts into making the plates look pretty and colorful is heartening.
This is Moody Tongue. Is this mm-hmm. a kind of a pricey place for a brew pub?
Well,
a gastro pub.
If you go with a multi-course route, you're about $150
a person,
right? But that includes the beer. It includes all the wine tastings, so that's the beer tastings. So that's unusual.
A la carte.
A la carte. You talk about entrees in the as high as the upper 30s, but a lot in the low 30s or upper 20s.
How many stars did you give this one?
I gave them 3 stars
out of 4. That's excellent.
Right. And we did a dual review because I had Josh Noel, our beer writer for the Chicago Tribune, along with me. So he was doing more of the heavy lifting in terms of saying how well the beers went with the food. because in all matters beer, I defer to Josh Knoll.
What was his conclusion?
He thought there were some things he didn't wasn't absolutely wowed by, but he really thought that the effort and the thought that went into making the beer pairings was really extraordinary. They weren't just like, oh, yeah, here's our IPA that goes with that, and here's a stout that goes with the dessert.
Right. No. Moody Tongue is the name of this place. Where is it located, by the way?
It is 2515 South Wabash. So it's a little tricky to get to because the expressway is in the way, but if you...
South 2515. So this is south of the South Loop.
Right, South Loop. Yeah, it's kind of... I don't even know what to call that. I keep thinking South Loop. It's not quite Chinatown, but it's...
Right.
So...
Fair enough. And that's called Moody Tongue.
The Moody Tongue.
Here's a text message for Phil Vitale, restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Mr. Vitale, I heard you talk about a restaurant that replaced the Green Room or something like that. It was supposed to be on the higher floor of a building downtown. It wasn't easy to find, but I think you said you liked it. Could you share that name with me?
The reader is referring to Woodwind. One word, although they capitalize both W's. It used to be Green River. It's in the Northwestern Medical campus, so it's on Erie Street, 259 East Erie Street.
259 East Erie.
And up on the 18th floor, although when you go into the lobby, there's a nice desk that has the name of the restaurant on there, so they can check you in there and put you on the elevator, and then you go up there, and it's, you know, it's... The lobby itself looks like a medical building. It's very bright, and it's very sterile, and it's very everything. But then you go upstairs, and it's warm and inviting and low-lit, and it's a very cool place.
Now, it'll be a place, I guess, that a lot of people don't know about. That is, it's not like you're going to walk by and see
right.
it. You have to have heard about it to take the elevator up. Is there a view? Is that part of the appeal?
There is. There's a view, but it's kind of, it's not, I mean, you're not going to see the lake. You're going to see some of the nice buildings around you.
Yeah, right.
And you're going to have a feeling of being up in the air, but you're not going to go, you're not going to break out the big camera and get a shot of the building across the street.
For several days last week, the most listened to thing, the top four trending things on our website included your discussion about the best steakhouses in Chicago.
People love steakhouses.
Oh my gosh. We talked about that all week long, or at least people continued to click on that and listen to your discussion about it. So then we had a question about what did you rate of the top seven?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a national list of the highest, you know, rated high-end chain steakhouses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, multi-units.
So what was in there? McCormick and Schmeek, places like that.
Yeah, Mastro's and
Shula's.
And Morton's.
Yeah,
and,
right,
and
exactly.
Those.
But you came up with your own list. So then I called you back and said, but which one did you put at number one?
Mm-hmm.
And you had your seven, but you really didn't say... This was my number one.
I didn't.
If you did, you didn't recall.
Right.
I'm going to ask you to look back at that list. Would you mind doing this?
Sure.
And would you rank them for us?
Sure.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but mm-hmm. if you could, I'd like to see what you say.
Sure.
I think you sure liked RPM.
Yes, it's very glitzy. I told you, that's the one. When I walked in there, I said, oh, I wish I'd dressed nicer than this. And the next time I said, gee, I wish I'd worn my tuxedo. Because it's just very, it's shimmery and it's glam and it's got two tiers and everything looks fabulous. And you get that little martini with the bow tie in it, which is actually the lemon peel.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Okay, so we'll repost that.
All right.
But rate them 1 through 7. Real quick, I got 30 seconds and Bill just called in. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. How can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know the best Phil's answer to the best place for crab legs.
Ooh, there are some good ones. Actually, right across the street from the studio is the Palm, and they go in for crab legs in a big way. I would say Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab is another great way place for that. And then you really can't beat Shaw's Crab House. And the owners of Shaw's, which is Lettuce Entertain You, which also has Joe's Seafood Prime Steak and Stone Crab. They just opened RPM Seafood, is on the river. And I haven't gotten a chance to get in there yet, and it's going to be a really hard place to get into.
RPM Seafood.
But I bet they're taking those crab legs pretty seriously over there.
Shaw's, Joe's, and the Palm are the first three that came to mind.
Yeah.
We'll wait for your review on RPM Seafood. Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for the call, Bill. You can read him in print. You can read him online at chicagotribune.com/dining. Thank you, Mr. Vitale.
My pleasure.
We'll talk more about Valentine's Day next week.